I'm on. That's great. What a sea of fabulous faces. Did you know you were beautiful?
Yes.
There's one gentleman who told me earlier on in the meeting that he wasn't sure about that. And I told him he was. We're beautiful in God's sight. So can I have... Oh, there we are. There. Can you see the slide? That's good. It must be working. Good. It's great to be with you. I've really enjoyed worshipping with you these last couple of weeks. And for those who don't know me, again, just to reiterate what Paul said, my name is Phil Gregg. And for those of you who do know me, my name is...
Phil
Gregg. There you are. Both ways. So, bring you greetings from Grapevine. We meet in what was the old Hill Morton Mission, but we've been running as a Grapevine church since about 1999. We're small but happy, and the Lord blesses us on a regular basis. And we're based on prayer and worship, but we have a special... People have visited us over the years, and like Paul was doing earlier on, God has given them a word, and they don't know us very well at all, but this word watchman has come over us again and again and again. So we feel that God has a special task for us to watch and then to pray about what we see. That's who we are. And one of the things I think we share with you, it's very evident, we share the same heart for the salvation of the people of Rugby, and that God's kingdom will be seen more and more in our town. Are you with me on that? Are you going to say amen?
Amen.
Good. Okay. Now, Paul stole my thunder a little bit when he got you to put your hands up earlier, because don't you just hate it when people tell you to put... And you know I'm too nice to ask you to do that sort of thing, don't you?
No.
So, hands up if you don't want encouragement. You see how good I am to you? I give you a hands up question, you don't put your hands up for it. Isn't that great? There are various secrets of how to get encouraged. Now, I'll come on to what I'm supposed to talk about in a minute. But I want to start off with this. Various secrets how to get encouraged. And I'm going to start off with this one. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And you know what? I'm just going to leave you there hanging. And we're going to come back to that later on. Just hang on to it. And like a fish on a hook, I'm going to reel you in later on. But for the first part, let's look at what Paul, your leader here, and your leadership team asked me to do. Now, 2 weeks ago, Chris spoke about Jesus modeling prayer for us. And last week, Paul spoke about intimately knowing our Father and the way he intimately knows us. And I've been asked to speak on intercession from this verse here, and you know it well. In fact, my first thought when I was asked to speak on something from the Lord's Prayer is, what more can I say? I've heard, and you've heard, so many talks on the Lord's Prayer that you've been through it again and again and again and again. And my first thought was to say, you know, I'm not sure that this is for me. Within 15 minutes, I had got a piece of paper with a talk sketched out. Now, that doesn't happen unless God says, yeah, okay, do it. So here I am. So let's talk, first of all, about intercession. And we're going to have some unnecessary levity. And I hope you don't mind a little bit of levity. I want to call forward, first of all, Wendy, who's going to help me with this levity. I did ask, Wendy, would you like to come and stand this side of me? And Wendy doesn't know what she's going to do yet, but she's going to, it's going to be part of her character. Because I asked around for somebody who's not big. In fact, I asked for somebody who's little. Little but feisty. Was I right? Yeah. And the answer I got was, you don't mess about with Wendy. But who's going to fight? Well, I thought of Paul and Chris, and I thought, no, they're too busy. We don't want them to do. So I thought, who's the only person, not the only person, the only person I knew beforehand who's got a history of being a bit of a bruiser? A bruiser. So come on, Ian. So you're going to stand just the other side. You may want to just slide along a bit there. You're going to... Oh, no, you'll do there, actually. There's plenty of room there. That's good, that's good. So we're going to have him. And then I wanted somebody sort of equivalent. And so we've got Mike. Where's Mike? Yeah. There we go. So, like... would you mind standing that side, please? So, fighters, you are going to only pretend to fight. Boo, boo. I'm sorry, it's only a pretend.
It did happen once.
Did it? All right, okay. This is only going to be a pretend because the church insurance won't cover. If square up. Come on. Don't start yet. Don't start. And we're going to have a clean fight. I want you both to show your killer instincts. No cheap shots. Now, before you start, I want to chat with Wendy here. I want you, Wendy, when they start fighting, I want you to come between them.
Okay. I've done it before.
She's done it before. There we go. And I want you to separate them and push them aside. And I'll tell you what happens after that when we get to it. We'll give them a few minutes just to moments, just to entertain people to see what they do. Is that all right? Okay, so ready and fight! No touching, please. No, this is pretend fight. Pretend. Okay, Wendy, would you like to go and... Wendy's going to go and intervene. Push them apart. Push them apart. Okay. Could you? Yay. Wendy, could you push Ian a little bit further that way? And could you push Mike a little bit further towards me? And I want to put Wendy in the middle here because I want to explain what she's just done. There's a Latin word called intervenio, or intervenio if you went to the school that taught Latin like me. Inter is between. Obvious, isn't it? And the other word is to come between. Venio, to come. So she's just come between them and separated them. But now she's going to intercede. I was asked to talk about intercession. Intercedo, different Latin word. And what that means is to go between. Is my radio mic cutting out occasionally?
No,
it's all right. Okay, it just feels like it to me when I had to turn my head in a particular direction. Okay, she's now going to go between. Now, to go between, you have to know a little bit about these guys. Come on, Ian. Would you like to go to Ian? I'm going to go and stand next to him, and I'm just going to say words that you might be saying to him. Go and stand and tell him off. Luke as if you're telling him off. And she's to Ian going to say, come on, Ian, you've been a Christian for a long time. You've left all that fighting behind you. So kindly be more responsible and act your age. Who here thinks that Ian Bruce can act his age? Yeah, there's a... Okay, and then she's going to come to Mike. And she said, Mike, come on. You're a member of this church. Would you like to come and talk to Mike? That's right. You're a member of this church, and you know you should behave better than that. And you've become a Christian. You give him a heart to the Lord. And I know you've got big muscles from all that drumming, but you should control yourself. Okay, a big hand for all three of them. Did you spot the connection to priesthood? Trevor, would you mind passing my water? Okay.
You?
Yeah,
or
to me.
Else?
No.
To
what was the connection to priesthood? If anybody's got a hand to go up, you can put your hand up. Go for it, Richard.
Neither of them were
suitable. Nice one. Nice one. That's right, and pop it down there. If we belong to Jesus, you are all priests. He's put his, just like Paul was saying last week, he's put his spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit has carried the fullness of the persons of the Trinity into us. And by having that relationship with him, I'm going to put him over there, we can represent him to those who don't know him. We take from him and we give them what he has said to us, or his ministry to us. Now you see that with Wendy. She went from one to the other. She knew something about both. She had a relationship with both. So she was able to act as a go-between. Now, you know that as a mediator in Scripture or as an ambassador in Scripture, but it's an intercado person. It's a person who goes between. And that's where we get our word intercession from. We know something, we have something, some connection with both, and we say, please sort this out. Because we're human, we see people's needs and failings. And on the other side of priesthood, we represent them to God. Paul said this last week. It's worth recapping regularly. You have a priestly role, every one of you, if you have given your heart to Jesus. But there's a problem. And that is, what do I pray? It's all right for the Holy Spirit. He intercedes for us. You see, let's go back to the previous. The Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You see, just up there in the presence of the Father, Jesus, who has a permanent priesthood, is interceding for you and me. And the Holy Spirit is also interceding. Ain't that amazing? So, what do we pray? It's all right for the Holy Spirit. He knows the will of God. But what do you pray? Hands up if you always know what the will of God is. See how good I am to you? There's another hands up question that you don't have to. So are we really going to sit round in a prayer meeting with no idea whether our prayers will be answered or not? Yes, I know that bit about ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. But you're like me, you're a faulty, flawed character. And I don't always know what I should know. And I don't know what prayers God wants to answer. How do I find out? Flawed doesn't necessarily mean living in outright sin. It can mean just not knowing enough to ask correctly. Now, my eldest son, when he was little, would always want to put off bedtime. And his way of putting off bedtime was to ask me things. And this was one of his favorites. He wanted me to make for him a little seat and put an engine on the back of it and wheels on the bottom of it so he could drive it around. Now, his confidence in my engineering skills was astonishing. If anybody can do that, it's got to be Daddy. Daddy must be. Even if I could make it, I'm not about to allow him to run round on one of those. He could ask as much as he liked, but it wasn't going to happen. And when we ask our good, giving Father for something, and it doesn't immediately appear, we can be tempted to change our opinion of his goodness and his givingness. Big mistake. We know he's a good giving father. We know that, we know that, we know that. He's proved it to us time and time again through our Christian lives. We don't know why he hasn't answered this way, this time, the way we wanted him to. But sometimes we get misled into using what we just don't know to alter our opinion of what we do know. We do know he's good and giving. Our theology should be based on what he's like. And he's like Jesus, by the way. He's like Jesus. Our theology should be based on what he's like, not on our daily circumstances. My son didn't see the answer to his request because he was asking the wrong thing. So how can we ask the right thing and be more confident in what we're praying about? I want to talk about this. We need to be more familiar with God in worship, and we need to be more familiar with his word in scripture. We're going to take those two one by one. So this is being familiar with him in worship. Now, in the morning, if my wife gets up before me, she'll get to the kitchen before I do, and she'll put on the table what I want for breakfast. How does she know? Answer, she's spent time with me. She's put up with me for so many years that I have no mystery left. She knows everything. Now, of course, the reverse isn't true. So, fellas, hands up if you always... No, no, we won't do that one. No, no, no. So let's get back to the point. If only we could get to know our Heavenly Father and live like he wants us to, we could pray what we want, because we will want louder.
What he wants.
Now, there was a story about a saintly old woman. I've looked and I can't find who it was. A saintly old, shout if you know this story, about a saintly old woman who used to pray, "Now, Father, do my will." Blasphemy. No. The point of the story was that she was known to have spent so much time with God that her will had become one with his will. Same as his. Time with God. And then another way to be more confident about intercession is to be familiar with his word. One of the things we practice at our House of Prayer in Grapevine, it's sort of been suspended during COVID, and we're just restarting it now as an internal House of Prayer. One of the things we practice is, and it's great, by the way, for you to use when you're alone at home as well, or in alone in prayer, is to pray from Scripture. The great thing about Scripture is this. I'll give you two little things, loads of things you can say about it. One thing about Scripture is the Word of God. So when he says he wants something and you pray about it, you know you're praying along with the will of God. Automatic. The other thing about praying from Scripture, and sometimes we ask people when they come to pray, please pray according to the words of Scripture. Later on, we're going to have a little attempt at this, but it keeps you on track, and you tend to get people not wandering about so much in their prayers, like I do with my talks. So, for instance, we might be targeting education in rugby. In our little house of prayer, We tend to target one thing one week and something else the next week, and we pray, we major on that. So we might set ourselves this verse. It may be vaguely familiar to you. And our prayer might be this. Phil, come and pray about that verse. And pray about this subject, education in rugby. What am I going to pray? I wonder if you'd pray it with me. I'm not going to put the words up. I just want you to listen while I pray. But I want you to pray with me in your hearts. Father, you have said that your kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for Rugby Youth for Christ that their words will penetrate the hearts of teachers who don't know you, and that they will come to know you as King in their lives. Did you pray it with me? Good. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Do you remember John Wimber? A great guy who was involved in a healing ministry. I shan't go into his background, it'll take all day. A lady started to tell him about all the details of the dreadful disease that she got. And he stopped her, and he was on the stage in front of thousands of people, and he stopped her and he said this, "Lady, don't tell me all the details about what you've got. I've only got one prayer. Lord, heal this." But he'd spent time with the Lord. Spending time in scripture does take our time, and spending time in worship. So here's a learning point from the first part of this talk. Don't worry, there are only two parts. So here it is. Intercession is secondary to intimacy. If you have a prayer time that lasts 1 minute, it's fine, provided you've spent the last 59 minutes worshipping. Get intimate with him, and then short prayers. And yes, that's, you don't need to go on and on. Now, second part of talk. Having said all that, I want to share with you a bit of a bombshell, and I'm going to come more to the subject of the verse I was asked to speak on. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's not the verse, that's my example of where we're going to go. What's Paul talking about? Paul is correcting the Thessalonians because their theology of Jesus coming back had got a bit twisted. Now, a friend of mine, very good friend, used to be involved in a church here in Rugby, not this church, came up to him and said, "Why, Phil, why are you always preaching about end times?" And I said, "Well, I didn't think I always preached about end times. I've written a study guide for small groups, and the little bit about end times is about a 20th or a 30th of the amount." And I said, "Well, does it seem to you like I always speak about end times?" He says, "Yes, it does." And I said, "Well, how often do you preach about end times in your church?" He says, "I don't." "Ah, well, that's why you think that somebody who preaches the normal amount," because I don't do it at all. One of the things which makes a church leader's heart sink is when someone comes up more enthusiastic than they've normally been seen in the services, eyes shining bright, and they say, "Have you seen that viral post on the internet about how the end times start next week?" Now, I think we are close to end times. No, I'm not putting dates on, and you know, it could be however long. But enough with getting theology from internet gossip. Get off the internet, get into scripture. That's where you get your theology from, not off the internet. Don't pester Paul. or for that matter, me, with what you've found on the internet. No, go to Scripture. The Lord will reveal to us what he needs to reveal to us by being intimate with him and knowing his word. So 1 Thessalonians 4, now I'm not going to go into any more other than that, but it's a mine of information about what will happen one day. And if you're not familiar with it, make a date with it. Paul gives a blow-by-blow account of the end of this age we're living in now. And he ends by saying, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I've linked it back to what we saw at the beginning. So here's a way to get encouraged. Phil, encourage somebody. The Lord's coming soon. There was a guy who belonged to this church, and I'm not quite sure how he did it, but he managed to hire the Ben Hall every week, Sunday night, and the youth from round the town would all turn up in his meeting called Soon. Do you remember that guy? Some of you do remember him very well. I loved him very much. And we used to sing, Jesus is coming soon. Here's a guaranteed way to be encouraged to talk about that. And I'm going to sidestep that again and check how the Lord's Prayer is connected with this. What do we mean when we say, your kingdom come? Well, we know this bit, God's kingdom, it has come. This is part of standard church teaching. You should know this from babyhood. His kingdom has come in part. It will come in more part. But one day it will finally come in total. Yeah, you know that stuff. Okay. Hands up, anyone who's seen God's kingdom come fully and completely in their own lives. See how good I am? No hands. Great. There are many who've seen glimpses of God's kingdom coming in their lives. However, if I ask for hands up for who's seen a glimpse of God's kingdom coming in their lives, the whole room would have hands up. In fact, let's do that. Would you like to raise your hands to the Lord? And we're going to pray. Thank you, Father, that even though we are flawed people, we have seen the breakthrough of your kingdom into our lives. Say amen with me. Amen. However, the point is, what do we mean when we say your kingdom come as part of the Lord's Prayer? Well, the first question is, what did Jesus mean? What was on Jesus' mind? So I'm sorry to impose this upon you. No, I'm not sorry, I'm glad. To impose on you a bit of Greek grammar. This word, come. As Jesus said it in the Lord's Prayer, and I'm hoping this is a bit of a bombshell, maybe Paul preaches on this every week, in which case you will all know this stuff. That word, come, is not a request. As Jesus said it, it's a command. It's a command to the subject of the sentence, your kingdom. Jesus is giving an instruction to the kingdom. The grammar is this: when you give an instruction, will you tidy your bedroom? Come down for lunch. Or what? It's an order. It's a command. Are some of you familiar with that? You're giving, and we say in grammar that the word is in a particular type of verb. It's called a mood, and the mood of that word is imperative. And that is a command. It's actually, grammatically, an aorist imperative. Aorist is one of the tenses in Greek. We don't really have it in English. It's part of some of our tenses. But the Greek had much simpler tense structure, which incidentally at the time exactly mirrored the Hebrew tense structure. You have one particular tense which is continuous, goes on and on and on and on and on, sometimes called an imperfect tense. And then you have another tense where something happens, bang. Not a single act, so a single act, not a gradual act or a repeated act. And if it's not only aorist, but also imperative, it's a future tense. So putting that together with what Jesus said, the bombshell is this. Jesus was giving a command for something to happen as a single event in the future. Now, that's not what we normally understand as God's kingdom gradually making its appearance in our lives and in those around us. That is not wrong. That is completely right. But it's not what Jesus was trying to imply by his grammar at the time. He was commanding God's kingdom to come as a future event, finally, and in all its fullness. But not only that, fellow priests, he was recommending that mode of prayer for us. Like him, you are a royal priest. Your high priest is calling you his royal priesthood to act in his name and with his authority to command with confidence that his kingdom will come. Every time you say the Lord's Prayer. Now, that's not been part of my... We used to recite the Lord's Prayer every morning in school assembly. And I never had the first idea about that. But that was what was in Jesus' mind. How do we know? Well, we're going to give you some of the hints that Jesus got from his reading matter. What was his reading matter? And we're going to read it together with him. And I want you to notice that out of the six scriptures I'm going to put on the screen, five of them are from the Old Testament that Jesus would have read regularly. And the Holy Spirit would have said, that's you. That's you. That's you. So let's read them. The first one here, can you read it with me? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of all the nations shall be his. Has that happened yet? No. End times. How about this one? As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Still to come. And the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to who? The people of the saints of the Most High. You, their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey you. Astonishing. And it goes on. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. Does that encourage you? It should. Sometimes, you know, the church can get so absorbed with things that go on and round, and the same, and we've got Christmas and Easter and Pentecost and harvest and this Sunday and next Sunday, and we fail to discern the linear nature of God's will for this earth and for you and me. The Greek way of thinking was that time went round in circles. Hellenic means Greek. I just thought I'd put a posh word on for you. And you can end up this cynical. Where's the promise of his coming? Because he hasn't come yet. It's been, and what has been will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. Cynicism is bred from a cyclical view of the way in which God's kingdom works, and in our churches, God forbid it should ever be your church or my church, in our churches, it is bred from the same thing happening again and again and again. And I was pleased to hear, as I've been here this last couple of weeks worshipping with you, it's been great worshipping with you, and I've been glad to hear that you have a heart for not having the same old, same old, same old, but allowing God to work and change things and change you.
Amen.
Wonderful. When you end up cynical, it can never happen. You know, Bill Johnson, I don't know whether you've heard of him. He's fairly well known. He has a church in Redding in California, which is quite big. And he became aware after a while that in some of their small groups, there was a fairly negative attitude arising. And in a main meeting, he announced that they were going to try an experiment. And the experiment was this. They were going to have for 1 week a negativity fast. They were not going to be negative for the whole week. And a voice called out from the back, "It'll never work." See, the Hebrews thought time was linear. It went from something to something. How did they know? They had the Torah. In the beginning. And in other scriptures. In the last days. We've been reading some. Our Father has planned this in this way for you and for me, fellow priests. He's moving us inexorably towards it. And we are going to enjoy it. So next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, encourage one another.